I'm always drawn back to places where I have lived, the houses and their neighborhoods. For instance, there's a brownstone in the East 70s where, during the early years of the war, I had my first New York apartment. It was one room crowded with attic furniture, a sofa and fat chairs, upholstered in that itchy, particular red velvet that one associates with hot days on a train. The walls were stucco, and a color rather like tobacco spit. Everywhere, in the bathroom too, there were prints of Roman ruins freckled brown with age. The single window looked out on a fire escape. Even so, my spirits heightened whenever I felt in my pocket the key to this apartment. With all its gloom, it still was a place of my own. The first, and my books were there, and jars of pencils to sharpen, everything I needed so I felt to become the writer I wanted to be. It never occurred to me in those days to write about Holly Golightly, and probably it would not now except for a conversation I had with Jo Bell that set the whole memory of her in motion again. Holly Golightly had been a tenant in the old brownstone. She'd occupied the apartment below mine. As for Jo Bell, he ran a bar around the corner on Lexington Avenue. He still does. Both Ollie and I used to go there 6-7 times a day. Not for a drink, not always, but to make telephone calls. During the war, a private telephone was hard to come by. Moreover, Jo Bell was good about taking messages, which, in Ollie's case, was no small favor, for she had a tremendous money. Of course, this was a long time ago, and until last week, I hadn't seen Jo Bell in several years. Off and on, we'd kept in touch, and occasionally I'd stop by his bar when passing through the neighborhood. But actually, we'd never been strong friends, except in as much as we were both friends of Holly Golightly.